When I was a chaplain and I would talk to soldiers who fell into infidelity, almost without exception, if you ask them, well, how did it start? Because of what I said. It's all a girl. Say, hey, how about doing this? The first thing that led to this sin was suggestive language. And you hear that also even with pastors who fall into that particular sin. Their mouth gets them in trouble. They say something they shouldn't say to a woman, and that progresses, and then it leads to infidelity. And that's exactly what James is saying. The things that we say things that we can't take back. It causes us to fight with other people. That's what he's going to talk about in James chapter 4. Our tongues can control our actions. And therefore, our tongue has great potential for evil. The damage caused by the tongue, verses 5 through 8. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members, I'm talking about the members of our body, as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the seas is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. This is true no matter what field we're talking about. And again, even for pastors, whatever the case may be, the fire can cause great damage. With the tongue, we can brag. A small thing said by the tongue can cause great damage like a forest fire. That's the analogy that James is making. How many churches have been destroyed by what somebody has said? How many personal relationships have been destroyed by something someone has said? And what James says here is there's not a single evil, there's not a single kind of evil that the tongue cannot contribute to. You know, it's amazing. When I was going to seminary most recently, and I was living in Honey Grove, which is up near Paris, I went to a church that was there for, well, we celebrated the 100th anniversary while I was there in the building. And it is I'm not kidding you, there are people there that are fighting with one another because of something that was said in 1962. Wow. You think I'm exaggerating? I'll give you one example. One example. There was a table in the corner of our fellowship hall. And there was a guy that was the pastor there from 1936 to 1961. Long time. Of course, I didn't know him, but he's long gone. He's dead, you know. But one day we were getting ready for a fellowship dinner, and someone moved that table. And a lady from the other end of the fellowship hall ran over and started screaming at her and said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm moving this table so we can set up the food table over here." Goes, "That table was left there by Mrs. the pastor who left in 1961. And she told me, don't let anyone ever have this table removed out of here." And those women got in a great big knockdown, drag out fight over that little table that was sitting over there in the corner. And I know you all have plenty of stories like that as well. The tongue can cause all kinds of problems. Defile the whole body if we will allow it. Now it's interesting here in verse 6. It says, it can set on fire our whole lives, verse 6. And now in my translation, it says, it sets on fire the course of our life. Now, that phrase, course on our life, literally the word is a wheel. And someone has said, what I always think of like, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about here, but like when the Chinese have the New Year and they got that wheel and the wheel's going around and the fire's all spitting out. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's not Chinese. Maybe it's Vietnamese. I have no idea. But that's what James is saying. Our tongue is like a wheel, and it's the whole course of our life. It's like spitting fire out. It's like little firecrackers on the outside, and it'll just spit out these flames as it's going around. That's the picture that James is drawing here. And it's such a small member of our body, but yet it can destroy the whole course of our life, the things that we say, the things that we say to others. And that is exactly what James is referring to here. And he says it's like a cobra. It has poison in it, a snake. He says, verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Now, obviously, James says none of us can tame it. But the degree that we're going to is we're going to do it by the Spirit of God. As we walk by the Spirit, by faith, asking God to transform us more into the image of Christ. But we will never tame this thing completely. And we must always beware that we have this member within us, within our bodies, that's like a deadly poison. It's always ready. It's like a snake that has the poison there just ready to spit it out like a cobra. It's always there. And we need to beware. And that's what James is saying. And so when we look at the context of or the outline of the book of James, James says, be slow to speak. Don't be in such a hurry to get up and use this instrument that can cause so much damage. Again, how many churches have been destroyed by what somebody says? Watch out. The tongue is always ready to spit out its poison that can cause all kinds of damage. We need to beware. The tongue is also hypocritical and also inconsistent. Hear what he's talking about in verses 9 and 12, 9 through 12. With it, he's talking about our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Unlike nature, if we come to a spring that's fresh water, it's always producing fresh water. If we come to a spring that has bitter water, it's going to have bitter water. But our tongues are not like that. Our tongues are very inconsistent. One day, not one day, one minute, we can be saying good things. We can be building up people. We can be praising God. And within a second, we can turn around and curse and say things that are detrimental and negative and deadly. Our tongues can bring forth life and death, good things and bad. Salty water brings death. I was just reading an account of World War II and the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there was a ship, a famous ship named the USS Indianapolis. And the USS Indianapolis was the ship that brought parts of the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima to the island in the Pacific where Tibbetts loaded the B-29 with it. Well, what happened once they dropped off those parts to the bomb, they were heading west in case there was going to be an invasion of Japan, and they got hit by a Japanese submarine. And for those of you who don't know, it was horrible. Those guys were in the water for 4 or 5 days, and sharks ate like 800 of them or something like that. I don't remember the exact number. But what they said was these guys, when they were floating in there, there was oil on their faces, and the guys next to them were being eaten by sharks, and they were dying of thirst. But what sealed their fate was when they drank the water for a lot of these guys. They drank the water, and it was salty. And what James is talking about here, it's kind of interesting. He says here that you can have bitter and fresh water. You can live on that, but the tongue can also bring forth salty water, which is deadly. And James' point is, with our tongues, we can cause unbelievably destructive damage to the church, to other people, and that's what James is referring to when he talks about our salty water. And the thing about it is, turn to Proverbs 18:21. We've already seen that James is wisdom literature, and you see a lot of parallels with the Proverbs. You also see a lot of parallels with the Sermon on the Mount. But look in Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. With our tongue, we can bless people, we can encourage people, we can build people up, but we can also tear them down. And that's what James is referring to as well. I can't remember, that was one of the ones that Sean talked about, the parallels, but there's another one for us. We can be in church, and one minute we can be singing praises to God and blessing Him, and then turn around to our wife or husband and gossip about someone who's in the pew in front of us. Within seconds. And that's exactly what James is referring to. Watch out. And obviously we've all experienced these things. But what's interesting, again, as I started off this presentation, is we tend to minimize such sins. You know, the Lordship people never say, like I say, well, if you gossip about the person in the front of you, you're really not saved. They never say that because they do it just like all of us do. You know, that's what James says, watch out. But James does not minimize it. He devotes a whole chapter to it. And I ran into some good quotes. At least I think they're good quotes. The hypocrite says, it's not that big a deal what we do. And here's what I found someone say. To the person who speaks praise to God in the worship service and abuses people verbally at home or at work, James commands, and by the way, he's talking to believers, purify your speech through the week. With a person who says, I know I talk too much, and laughs it off, James is not amused. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Goes back to James 1:19. By the person who boasts, I always speak my mind no matter who gets hurt, James is not impressed. Discipline your speaking. And obviously, we're not going to do this on our own. We're going to need the Spirit of God to do this in our lives. Of the person who says, I know I gossip too much, but I just can't help it, James says, control your tongue. Of the person who's in the habit of speaking with insults, ridicule, or sarcasm, James demands, change your speech habits. He expects us to discipline our life, our speech in our Christian life. It's a big deal. So what James is saying here is that instead of trying to impress people with our speech and wanting to be teachers and wanting to stand up and impress people, he says instead we should show our wisdom by what we do. Verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 10:19. Once again, go back to the wisdom literature, Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. You know, as I get older, that's one of the things I've learned. I've learned that there's some times that I just need to keep my mouth shut. And that's what James is talking about as well. Verses 13 and 14, how do we show wisdom? It's shown in humility. 13, 14, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. What James is saying here is, if I get up to teach the word, but I'm an arrogant person and I'm doing it to impress you, then I am denying the very word that I'm getting up to speak. And I'm lying against the truth. So I get up here, and if I'm up here to impress you with my words, I'm teaching the Word of God, but I'm denying what the Word of God teaches. Gentleness is the example of the Lord that the Lord gave us. Matthew 11:29 is that passage where the Lord says, "Take my yoke upon me, for I am gentle and meek." And James says that's the way we ought to show our wisdom. Selfish ambition is a constant problem for teachers. And again, well, the emphasis here is not on cussing, but on fighting among believers to gain positions of honor and prestige within the church. In James chapter 1 and 2, as we saw yesterday, what James says is we need to be hearers of the word. And what he means by that is people who do the word of God. James is saying the same thing here. We should be doers of the word and not try to impress people with our speech. There's two types of wisdom. Verses 15 and 16. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. There's one kind of wisdom, the one that comes from Satan, the one that comes from hell. The world says wisdom is getting ahead of others, looking out for yourselves. Wanting to teach to impress others comes from our flesh. And when we do that, we produce confusion and factions. Again, just look at our churches. It is everywhere. Satan has done a good job. And that's the kind of way the world teaches. The world teaches, get ahead of others, no matter what you got to do. Try to be number one. And that is what James is warning us about. It is inspired by Satan himself. That's one kind of wisdom. But there's another kind of wisdom. It's God's wisdom. Verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. God's wisdom comes from the power of the Spirit. It doesn't seek to impress or to brag. Instead, it is pure. It is free from envy and self-seeking. It seeks harmony with other people. The example I gave of the women fighting in church, you can rest assured that that wisdom was from the flesh. It was not coming from above. And my guess is the lady who ran across the ran across, she thought she was doing the work of God. You know, that godly pastor's wife told me to leave that there, and I'm doing the work of the Lord by fighting with you here. Of course, we're reminded of James chapter 1, verse 21, where James says we should be merciful to others. And also of James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, when it says that we should not show partiality. We should look out for what others, the concerns of others. And again, we see another example where James is emphasizing things that the Lordship Salvation people do not use. When we act that way, when we're looking out for others and we're concerned about others and not seeking our own, James says we are like someone who sows seeds of righteousness, and that righteousness is sown when there is peace. James wants peace among his readers, not factions. In James chapter 4, he's going to talk about factions. The problem with this, the people that he was writing to, is they were fighting with one another. And part of the problem was what they were saying, what they were using their tongues for. Turn to Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. Another example of the wisdom literature that James no doubt has in mind. Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That is what James is looking for his readers to do. When we look at being slow to speak and the problem with the tongue, that's a problem that all of us have. Our words can cause great damage. We should certainly pray to the Lord to help us in this area, to control our tongue, because it controls our whole body, especially during times of stress and difficulties. What we should do instead of trying to impress people with our speech is we should be gentle servants to others. And that may be the best sermon that we can possibly preach.